We live in such a fast-paced world that sometimes it's hard to cut through the distractions and really think about what we actually believe, what we actually think about. It can be hard to feel creative. It can be hard to pursue creating beautiful things. Well, the habit that we're going to talk about today is going to help you cut through the noise and distractions of everyday life. And it's going to really help you to hone your voice, hone your thoughts, and just cultivate a mind that is thinking it deeply about the world and about God. So let's dive in. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me. Hey everyone, today is season one, episode 35 of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. I'm your host, Casey Fletcher, and today we are talking about a habit. So it's been a while since we've talked just about some practical habits that you can add into your everyday life. If you remember, those were some of the first episodes of the podcast. So it's been a while. If you've been listening for a few months, you may want to go back and listen to those episodes to figure out how you can add these habits to your life. In the past few episodes, we've been talking about creating this method for Christian living. And so as we wrap that up, one of the things that I was thinking about is just a few habits that you can practically add to your day that you could add to your rule of life that really help you. I'm going to focus on some of the habits that I've added to my life that have really helped me over the past few months to just cultivate, you know, a thoughtful, intellectual life that is concerned about the things of God and that is concerned about creating a legacy that really helps impact other people. And so that is what we're going to be focusing on over the next couple episodes. What we're going to be leading up into is over the summer months, I want to do some foundations episodes. So these are going to be looking at our foundational beliefs and going back to that personal statement of faith and working through each of those doctrines. So I'm planning on that being in the summer months. And so the next few episodes are just going to be about these habits that I think are really practical and helpful for you. So if you haven't done these things, don't stop listening now. Go ahead, think about how you could maybe try out some of these habits. Even if you feel like, oh, well, these habits she's talking about, I kind of already do that. You're going to learn some things about these habits that would help you to maybe make this habit more consistent in your everyday life, or maybe even help you to tell other people about how these habits are great. And so I really encourage you to just think about how you can add these into your life. As you've been thinking about all of these things, you know, if you want to have some ideas for how to do this, you can check out the show notes. You can find links to different articles and posts about the topics that we're going to be talking about. And you can also visit the shop because on the shop we have several things that are going to help you with different habits. And so the habit we're going to be focusing on today is really going to help you to cultivate your creativity and your deep thinking. For me, this is something that kind of cuts through the noise of everyday life and helps me to be thoughtful. One of the things that I heard someone say, she was, you know, reading a couple of the posts that I put on the blog, and she said, "Well, how do you find time to think about all these things? You know, I have two young kids running around. I'm involved in several things as far as family goes and with the church and different things like that." And so, for me, the answer that I wanted to say is, well, because I write. I'm able to think because I just write a lot. I write a lot and I read a lot. And you can listen to the episode on reading that we did back in November. But today what we're going to focus on is that other aspect. So I read a lot, but then I also write a lot. And that writing is in the form of journaling. So if you've never journaled before, this episode really is for you because it's going to talk about how to start that journaling habit. But if you have been maybe journaling for a little bit, or maybe you've kind of thought about the idea, maybe you wrote, you know, one or two entries and then you abandoned the journal, it's stuck in the back of your closet, this is really going to make you think about ways that you could add this habit into your life. Like I said, this habit for me is something that helps me to think deeply about topics and synthesize all of the things I'm listening to, reading, hearing, thinking about. You know, you want to cultivate that kind of deep thinking. In that book, The Shallows by Nicholas Carr, you know, he was saying that basically the internet has made us so distracted because we have so much information going on all the time. But part of the reason why we aren't thinking deeply, you know, you'd think that we would be the most well-informed people. And really we are, because we have such a glut of information. But the reason why we're not thinking deeply about it is because we need space in our lives to just think, to be bored and stare at the wall. You know, in the homeschooling circles, this is really common to talk about, or any kind of education or parenting circles. They say, you know, you need to let your kids be bored. Make sure you're not always turning on screens. You're not always trying to entertain them yourselves. They need to be bored so that they learn how to deal with that. And in being bored, they can be more creative because they have to learn how to cut through the boredom. And normally whenever they do that, they decide to play something or do something that is, you know, kind of out there, something that is completely different that maybe you as the parent wouldn't even have thought of. You know, I give my kid, you know, little pipe cleaners and things like that, and he starts to make a little lake with fish in them and a fishing pole and a man on a boat. I would never have thought to do that, but it just kind of sparks, because whenever you have these tools, these creative tools, they become generative over time, where they create new things. Creativity leads to this idea of creation. It leads to creation in the world, where we can be co-creators with God by producing things that are beautiful, that are valuable, that will ultimately impact other people. And so this is why I think journaling and writing and thinking through your thoughts helps to negate some of that distraction in everyday life. Because whenever you're constantly putting in information into your mind, I think it kind of deadens your mind, because you get desensitized to the information. You don't really know what you think about anything, but you just go back to Facebook and you kind of scroll. And whenever you get to this, at some point, you start to just kind of react to things emotionally without ever actually thinking about how you feel about them and thinking about maybe the reasons why you feel about them. You live in this emotional state rather than this rational state. And you can see this in the way, you know, with meme culture, where you have all these pictures with people, you know, saying things or things on TikTok. You know, you can hear these people making these very emotional responses to pictures and posts on Facebook, or to these political ideas. They've never actually thought about the implications of what they're saying. They've never thought through, like, oh, actually, why do I think this about this political point about abortion or school choice or anything like that? What they're thinking is emotionally, how does it make me feel? And so they just respond emotionally. But the way that the internet works is we just jump to the next idea. So we don't even evaluate whether those emotions are actually good for us to feel, or whether they're worthwhile, or whether they are something that is godly. We just jump on to the next thing and we respond emotionally to that. And then you always have to remember, every time that you have these emotions, these emotional responses to something, you're kind of getting that ingrained in your mind. So if you think about kids, whenever they first are interacting with a subject, math, social studies, whatever, the feelings that they have whenever they're interacting with that, they're going to keep those feelings for the rest of their life unless somebody else has came in and done damage control. So if you have a kid that's really struggling with reading as a 5, 6, 7-year-old, and they have all these feelings about reading, as a 13-year-old, they're going to still have these feelings. And obviously at 13, if it's kind of ingrained in them for that long, they're probably going to carry it with them through the rest of their life, unless somebody has done something that is going to fix that. I think about this with those emotions that we have with us. Unless we've done the work to figure out why we have these emotions, we're going to keep having this emotional response to everything that we face. And so then that negative emotional response that we might have to a meme on Facebook is going to be our gut reaction whenever we encounter it in another sphere, whether that's another thing on social media or an interaction with somebody else. And so I just think it's very nefarious. It's very bad, you know, that we respond this way and we never take the time to think through what we should actually be feeling. This is where I think we have this issue of the modern age, that we took a lot of the structures that people used to have to think through things, and we kind of tore all of those away. And then we have this very performative, emotional, image-based medium that now is how we communicate with everything. People don't even write really emails anymore. And text, you know, even some of them, a lot of times now it's just like you send a picture, you know, or a DM or whatever. So you have, it's still an image-based thing. So people aren't really writing through what they're feeling in any kind of long-form way. In the past, I just finished a book called The Fellowship, which was talking about the literary lives of the Inklings. It was very, very good. So if you're interested in C.S. Lewis or Tolkien or anything like that, I would read that book because it's very good and it makes you think very deeply about what they wrote. And also it introduces you to so many good reads that you probably should read. So one of the things that they talked about, though, is just all the letters that they wrote. Basically, you can look at the whole lives of these people basically from, you know, the 1970s, 1960s back. You can read through their lives based on the letters that they wrote. And in these letters, yes, they were communicating with somebody, but a lot of times this communication dealt with ideas. So you had, you know, the minutiae of everyday life, but you also had these deep thoughts that these readers and these thinkers and these authors were having about life as a whole. And that's why you can look through, you know, biographies, and a lot of them, they're saying, oh, they're based on the letters of C.S. Lewis or whatever. I think with us, we don't have that ability to write letters really to people. People don't really do that anymore. And so because of that, we kind of, we don't have that avenue. And then diary keeping was very important, especially in like the Victorian era. Most people kept kind of a journal or a diary if they could write. We don't really do that anymore either. That's kind of seen as something that's maybe, you know, this picture of like a little girl who has like a pink furry diary with a little locket on it. And that's what they think of as journaling. And I just think we're missing this incredible opportunity to sit with our thoughts, think through them, analyze them. And just like the psalmist does, where he starts out by just kind of having this emotional response, and then he kind of analyzes his situation. But then he always kind of stops and he says, okay, no, why do I feel like this? Well, it's because of all these things going on. But then he says, but God. And he introduces God into the situation and kind of writes his world by introducing the true order back into it. He feels this kind of emotional order that is chaotic and not really indicative of what society and what the his current situation was. But if he could just introduce God into that situation, it redeems that situation and makes it this orderly way of living and being. So I say all this is to say writing is so important, but we don't do it as a society as much as we should. I have these thoughts and I think these things because I take time out of my schedule to make this a habit to sit down and think about what I believe. I want to digest the things I'm reading, whether that reading is, you know, the Bible or the books that I'm reading. And then I also want to have time to digest what's going on in my life. And I need to have time to digest how all these things are pieced together to be this story. I do think that God is teaching us through everything that we interact with. He's teaching us something, and we can learn something from that. And so, yes, you know, I have a outwardly writing life where I have my blog and I have, you know, this podcast. And so I write for those things. But I think that doing this personally is important because there's things that I am dealing with, relationships, things like that, that I'm never going to write about. I'm not going to do that, but I need to think through them. So if everything that you post and you write is for the public, you're always going to be a little bit stunted in the benefits that you could have from journaling. So what we're going to talk about today is kind of a beginner's guide to journaling. So we're going to look at some different methods of journals, different types of journaling. Then we're going to talk about how to start this habit in your everyday life. The first thing, though, I want to focus on is I've kind of talked about I've got a new word and I like using it. This kind of apologia for journaling, right? This reasoning why you should do journaling. But there's also some other practical benefits that I think you might be interested to learn about. And so one of the first things that I wanted to share with you is these different mental health benefits that are so important that you don't even really think about, but studies have been done on journaling and how journaling can benefit you. And I think it's important to say, okay, yes, there's this reason, this high-minded reason that I gave you, but there's also these like really nitty-gritty practical reasons why journaling is so good for you. So one study found that the act of writing just basically leads to less stress and so many long-term benefits. So I'm going to read you some of the benefits that the study found, and you can find the links to these studies in the blog post for this podcast. So one, it lowers blood pressure, probably because it leads to less stress. You have improved lung and liver function, less time spent in the hospital, better moods, improved psychological well-being, so your mental health. And part of that is because you have fewer depressive and avoidance symptoms, reduced stress-related visits to the doctor, so any kind of things with panic attacks or anything like that, less work absenteeism, probably again because of your better mental health, less time out of work following job loss, and higher student grade averages. So all of these things, it's like, yes, you have all of the stress-related things. So your mental health is better, which leads to less stress, less visits to the doctor. But also you have these other things like these physical benefits where you have improved lung and liver function. Like, that's crazy that journaling will lead to that. But I'm assuming it's because of your the stress and stress's effect on the body. But also it's the fact that, you know, these improved physical health and mental health benefits lead to a improved life outcome, because in school, your grades are better, but then also you are at work more and you end up having kind of a better performance overall because of that. So I think it's just really impressive that this is something that is actually a pretty simple habit, but it leads to all of these benefits. There was a book that was just released called Raising Emotionally Strong Boys. And one of the things that the author talks about is how journaling is important, not just for girls, because I think a lot of times we think of girls with their Dear Diary or whatever and writing about that, but it's also important for boys. And one of the reasons why he mentioned this is because, which you can argue with this if you want, or you could read his book and kind of see what you think. But what he says is that boys are just more emotionally lazy than girls, which I think most of us would probably agree with this. So basically, if you think about the way that boys interact with their emotions, you ask a teenage boy, now, how do you feel about marriage? They're probably going to be like, I don't know. And the thing is, a lot of times in our culture, we just say, okay, that's fine. We don't want to push them. We don't want to make them feel a little bit uncomfortable. But what he's saying is that an emotionally healthy child, yeah, you don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable, especially if you don't know them. But if you're the parent, you know them. So you probably should push them a little bit. So what he's saying is you can't just settle for the I don't know. Like, you need to have boys that are in touch with their emotions, because at some point they're going to be their life partner, who is a woman, who is going to want to talk about these things. They're also going to need to deal with their thoughts and emotions about these topics, because you want them to have a healthy view of marriage. But if they never take the time to think about it, they're not going to have that view. And so what he's saying is basically you can't settle for the I don't know. But in conversation with somebody, that can be a little bit intimidating. Yeah, like, you have this kind of, I think therapy is very popular. It's funny, you know, journaling has kind of gone down in vogue, but everybody wants to do therapy. So you're going from this kind of written form of communication to this oral form of communication that you have. I think anytime that you're talking to somebody, you're going to have this kind of performative where you're feeling out what they're thinking. If they're happy with you, you know, you just have an emotion there. And so what he recommends is that boys journal, and that what they found is that they feel a lot better when they do journal, because they can think through these thoughts. So again, as you work through these issues, you're feeling better, but then you also have the added empathy where you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes and kind of think through that as you write about it. So you might be really upset with somebody, but as you're working through that issue, you can start to think, you know, once you gain a little bit of maturity, most adults can do this, you start to think about how the other person would feel and maybe why they're doing it. And it gives you more empathy for that person. I think that journaling, it can really help to mature you as a person and as a believer. So these are all the reasons why I think that you should pursue journaling, why I think it's a valuable habit that you should add to your schedule, to your rule of life. I just think it is something that is very beneficial for you. But now that we've talked about that, let's look at some different types of journaling. And then I'll kind of give some caveats at the end about which ones I think you should choose. So there's tons of different types of journaling. I found, and you can see the full list on the blog, but I found a list that had like 30 different types. And so they're everything from, you know, a dream journal, an art journal where you collect, you know, your drawings and things like that, a food journal if you're trying to lose weight, a fitness journal, a pregnancy journal. I've seen a, you know, gratitude journal, which is pretty common, but also a personal junk journal, which is basically where you write down all your negative thoughts instead of all your positive thoughts. A finance journal, a pray rain journal, which is like where you imagine what you want your life to look like. And so you kind of talking about your goals and how you want to get there. And then some that I have done over the past several years is looking at morning pages, commonplace books, you know, parenting journal, nature journal, memoir journaling, which I have a link for that on the blog that you can write out your testimony. And so that is a form of journaling where you focus just on your faith and your kind of your faith journey. Bullet journaling, one line a day, a prayer journal. So you have all of these different kinds of journals. Now, what they've said in these studies is not all of these kinds of journaling are created equal, right? If you are wanting to have these benefits, all these mental health benefits, keeping a food journal is not necessarily going to add to your mental health. And it might actually hurt it over the long run. What they are saying that really adds to your mental health is kind of expressive journaling. So writing out your thoughts in long form and kind of sitting with those thoughts. And several of the journals that I mentioned do that. But I'm going to tell you about my favorite kind of journaling and then some others that I've done over the years that I found valuable and worth your time. So my favorite kind of journaling is the morning pages. Now, this is something I've talked about in a couple of blog posts, but I haven't talked about it on the podcast yet. But morning pages is an idea created by Julia Cameron. She just is a writer, and she has a book called The Artist's Way that talks about different ways to foster creativity in your life. And with her morning pages, what you're doing is basically every morning you write 3 pages, which is why it's called morning pages. But basically the 3 pages is just supposed to be kind of stream of consciousness writing. So every day you just date the page, you start writing, and you don't stop until you get to those full 3 pages. The idea is by doing it in the morning, you're kind of getting the junk out of your life. And the reason why I really like it is because every day I kind of go through the same flow. So the first thing that I always do is I always start with just writing about what I did the day before. And then as I write about it, it kind of, you know, you run out of stuff to talk about if you're writing every day. And so then you kind of move into looking at maybe some thoughts that you've had, maybe something that you were reading about. Sometimes you have to think through, okay, how am I going to get to a full 3 pages? But as you do that, you start to have ideas that you're like, where did this even come from? And so you just kind of, you have to sit down and you have to really think through some of your ideas. In my morning pages, I have, you know, written out basically blog posts where I've written about all of these different things that I've talked about. It's kind of like my first draft. I've also kind of wrestled with ideas that I've had about God. I've wrestled through problems I've had about relationships and like, why am I responding to this relationship in this way? It's almost like a form of therapy where I'm working through that thing. You also can chronicle, you know, your everyday life. So I do think that writing what you do every day can be good. It can be a good way to look back on what you are learning through your life. And, you know, those little moments, I've always wanted to keep kind of a record of what my kids were doing. And so through the morning pages, I'm able to do that. And I just think there's so many little things like that that can be so positive about this. But the idea of the morning pages is it's a habit. It's not, oh, I want to keep track of my life. I did keep a journal as a kid. I kept a journal starting about the time that I was about, you know, 9 or 10. And I kept a journal basically all through high school. And there were some times where I wrote a lot. And there were some times where I would write maybe once a month, once every 2 months. And then through college and then the first years that I was married, I just kind of wrote just on and off, maybe once every 6 months or something like that. And every time that I wrote, I'd be like, it's been a long time since I wrote. And then I wouldn't write again for like 6 months. But the thing about that is it kind of gets overwhelming if you're trying to document your life, because if you do fall out of the habit, then it can be difficult trying to get back up into it. Also, what I found with journaling, and not everybody's this way, but I would always want to write whenever I was just trying to keep track of my life. I would always want to write about the bad things, but then when things were good, I would be like, eh, I don't need to write about anything. And so that was something that then it became like I felt worse after journaling because I was focusing on the bad things. And so I never wanted to write again. But with morning pages, you're not trying to do that. You can write about your life, but if you have this idea that's kind of been working at you and you want to think through, you just write about it. So I really think that that is the habit that you should start. Just every day, try to write 3 pages. You can kind of keep in mind, though, you know, the size of your notebook does matter. So I write with a letter size notebook because, you know, I have lots of things that I want to write about and think about. It's kind of a challenge. But if you are one that you're like, that seems like too much, I would get a smaller notebook and just try to fill up, you know, like a normal journal size notebook. You also want to make sure that you get one that's kind of durable. And I think the more pages, the better, unless you would want to feel more accomplished by finishing it, because 3 pages does fill up a notebook pretty fast, a lot faster than if you were doing like a normal type of journaling. So those are my recommendations for morning pages. What I do is I write throughout the week, but on the weekends I don't write. I don't do my normal morning routine stuff because my hand would probably fall off if I tried to write that much every single day. So that is my favorite type of journaling. And I recommend that that is the one that you start. And again, you can tack it on to your like Bible reading. And so one of the things you can do is, you know, read your set scripture for that day. And then after that, what I would do is just go through and just basically think through the scripture that you're reading in your morning pages. All right, so that is my favorite kind. And then the next thing that I would look at whenever I am focusing on what you would want to write other than that is bullet journaling. Bullet journaling is something I did all throughout college. It's a just type of planner system where basically what you do is you have a blank journal and then you make basically a planner out of it. So you like draw out your planners, but with bullet journaling, you can also add in other things. So if you wanted to make it into a journal where you document what you do each day, you can. There's lots of pretty spreads that you can look at. That's what they're called, where you draw out everything. They're called like page spreads. You can look at those on Pinterest. If you're artsy and you are wanting to kind of ease into journaling, but you don't want it to be primarily word-based, you also want to add some of your like artistic touches to it, that would be the type that I would recommend. And with that one, I would get a dotted notebook, especially the, I think it's the Leuchtturm notebook. It's German, so it's Leuchtturm 1917 dotted journal. That's the one that I love. I love that one. Also for like, I keep, basically it's like a Bible notebook, but I take it to church and write down topics and things like that. I've used that notebook and it's very durable, which is nice. If you go to camps or if you take it places, or if you want to do like your prayer journaling, that's a good one for that. And so I also use the dotted notebook. So that way you can make pictures and things or graphs and it's not going to look weird with all the lines because it's dotted. So that's another good one. I use that notebook as also kind of form of like a commonplace book, which a commonplace book is an idea that they had in like, you know, the 1800s in school before people had computers and things like that. But basically what they would do is every time they would read a book, if they came across a note that they loved, maybe a poem, they would just jot it down in their commonplace book. And so it became kind of this log of all of the things that they found beautiful and meaningful and all the thoughts that they have about it. You may have kept a commonplace book and you just didn't realize that's what it was called, because it's something that I know I kind of did this where I would just kind of jot down quotes that I loved and you know, maybe notes about a book, what a book was about. And so that's just another thing. For me, what I do is I keep a kind of catch-all notebook. So I have my morning pages, which is, it stays in my house, kind of a bigger notebook. But then this other notebook, I kind of just carry it around with me everywhere. And it has everything from grocery list to quotes that I love to prayers to kind of, you know, if you're sitting in, you know, church or if you're out at the park or whatever with the kids, you know, and I have this idea, I write it out. So that is another way of kind of a journal that kind of goes with you. But again, I don't think you get the same benefits as morning pages because it's not necessarily a habit and it's not something that you're always kind of working out your thoughts. So it's easy with a commonplace book to fall out of the habit. another form of common placing where you have all of these notes and things written out is Zettelkasten. So you can look up that online. But that's basically, it's the same thing, except you're keeping your notes on index cards and writing about your thoughts on them on the back. So I've tried that too. I'm trying to do that now. I'm not very consistent with that, but that's another form of kind of keeping track of those things. But again, you don't get the same kind of benefits with these methods as you do with other journaling. The other thing is a memory book, which I love this idea. I have not done this yet, but it's on my list. So basically with the memory book, what you're doing is for each child that you have, whenever they're born, you start a memory book. Again, if your kids are younger, you could just kind of go and make these even if you haven't done it yet. I mean, I guess you could do it even if your child was older, you would just have to write more. But what you're doing is basically you start the memory book as, you know, as a baby. So kind of writing out their birth story, maybe even whenever you find out about the fact that you're pregnant. And then what you do is every year, maybe you write some favorite highlights of the year, or maybe a letter to them. Every birthday. But as you collect all of these memories, then whenever they turn 18, you give the book to them on their 18th birthday, and they kind of have this keepsake that you've built over the year. What I've heard people say is they either write like a letter or a prayer about their child every year on their birthday. And again, the idea is they're collecting all of these things. But you know, you could, if you got just like a blank notebook, you could also add maybe some like pictures in there. It's basically like a scrapbook, but it's more word-based than picture-based. So that's another idea of journaling that I think that's really meaningful to give your kids. But again, that's something that you'd be giving to them. So obviously you wouldn't be writing everything that you thought and felt in that journal. All right, so now, whenever you want to start your habit, the first thing that you need to do is you need to think about what you want to get out of this practice. So again, if you're wanting to get the full benefits and if you want to kind of invest yourself into a habit that might take some time, you know, your morning pages could take 20 or 30 minutes, you are going to choose a certain type of journaling that is going to be a little bit different than if you're saying, well, I just really want to kind of get my feet wet and maybe jot down some ideas I have about books and things. And then you might want to pick a commonplace book. So you need to figure out what you want from your journaling practice, and that's going to help you figure out the type of habit that you want concerning journaling. Then what you need to do is create a designated journaling spot. I think this is good unless you're going to do the thing where you kind of just carry around your journal all the time and write in it whenever you have a spare moment. I would pick a spot. So I have like a morning basket for myself where I put my Bible and my books that I'm reading, my devotional, and then I keep my morning pages with that. So that's like my designated stuff. So every day I grab my little basket and then I write it out there. So that way it's kind of a trigger in my mind to remember that I want to do this journaling practice. So that is something that I'd recommend if you are wanting to do that as well. Then you want to set up your habit routine. So you need to figure out where in the day you want to write out your journal. And then finally, you want to be consistent. It's really important that whenever you do this, that you don't just say, oh, that was really hard, I'm never going to do this again, because you're never going to get those benefits. It's just important to be consistent, which may mean once a week, maybe on Sundays before church, you take some time to do your journaling, or maybe on, you know, Fridays, like a celebration, or Monday to kind of have a quick win for the week. But again, I think the more consistent that you are, the better. What I do, like I said, is I do it throughout the week. And then on the weekends, I take a break. And so then that way, I don't kind of burn myself out doing something. So I think that is important. And then the last thing that I would recommend doing with this is I would take some time each month or each quarter to kind of review your journals. I've always been surprised, and it's a little bit encouraging, you know, whenever you're going through your journals and you find like, oh, I was really having that problem and I don't even remember writing about it. But then you look back and you're like, I solved that problem. And part of it is, I think, because especially if you're doing your morning pages, you are thinking through these things and then you end up solving your own problems even if you weren't intentionally trying to do that thing. And so I think it's helpful. You can also, by reviewing this, you may not realize certain things that you're doing. Maybe there are certain patterns that you start to notice, like, oh, I notice that I'm, you know, thinking a lot about this thing. Maybe it's a thing that's not very good to think about. Or maybe, oh, I notice that, you know, I've kind of been skipping church for the past several months. Like, what's going on with that? Or maybe you have this, like, where you're kind of being sarcastic or maybe a little bit bitter, and the things that you write about. And you can start to recognize, like, oh, this is why I'm feeling this way. And then again, you make some changes in your life to try to answer that problem because you're recognizing that pattern by reviewing your journaling entries. So I hope that this was interesting and helpful and that you think of some ways to add this into your life. Again, journaling is something that has so many benefits and so many reasons why you should do it. We're a people of the word, and I think that if we get away from thinking about the word and trying to produce, you know, some writing ourselves, then I think we can kind of veer off into this distracted, shallow state of living. And I hope that we don't do that. So that is one thing that I hope that you get out of this, is that you need to cultivate, in whatever way that you can, some time to really think through your own thoughts. So like I said, if you want to look at any of the links that I referenced on this podcast, you can look at the post for the podcast on the blog. You can find that in the show notes. You can also get a link to 25 morning pages prompts that you can reference, that you can use while you're looking at your morning pages and writing those out. So I hope you will join us back next week. And until then, keep creating a life you love and cultivating your heart for God. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.